five times an Olympic medalist, four of those gold, and one of the greatest players our country has ever produced. She is Haley Wickenheiser. She joins us now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What a whirlwind. Thanks for being on the show. What a whirlwind week it's been for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I didn't expect, I guess, the amount of outpouring. I knew there would be some response, obviously, but it's been... I'm still trying to catch up. It's I haven't slept very much in the last 3 days, so it's been amazing. But I don't know if I could have asked for a better way to end my career, to be able to do it in Edmonton with the Oilers and the Flames, and just the two teams that have had the most impact in my NHL or in my life from the NHL. So it was a pretty cool experience. Yep.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you making time today. To be honest, like I was watching the ceremony, and you know, Wayne's in town, and it's a Battle of Alberta, and for the first time in a lot of years, it's a meaningful Battle of Alberta. So there's a lot of eyeballs, and I was just thinking, not that how do I put this? Not that we forgot about you, but you've been around for so long. Like the women's game really starts to get the spotlight on it, you know, way back in Nagano, and it's gone up and it's gone down, and there's been great moments, and we've seen new players, and we've seen girls retire and girls go into the Hockey Hall of Fame, and you've always been there. So I'm not really sure what a hockey world without Haley Wickenheiser forefront and center is going to look like.
Well, you know, I think the thing is I've been playing since I was 15. So people, first, they think I'm way older than I am. And second, I've been around a long time. And really, I came into the game at a time when it just started. You know, women have been playing the game for so long, but no one really cared about it or cared enough to talk about it or televise it enough. And I came into the game when, you know, the first Olympics started in Nagano. And then from there, you know, the game exploded onto the scene. And we've seen, you know, many Olympics since, and the amount of girls playing hockey in this country is around close to 100,000 now. And so it's just the timing, I think, of it all. And I was lucky to have those opportunities. But, you know, a little girl growing up in Shawnee, Saskatchewan, you just kind of never dream you'll have a career that you do and the experiences that I've had. But it's been amazing, and I'm really grateful for having the chance to say that I could be a female playing the game of hockey and that I've made a living at it, and that's pretty cool.
All the medals and the championships, what I find amazing is that, I mean, America has a great hockey program, and a number of times, I mean, 05, 08, 2009, I mean, they win gold six times, I believe. They win gold at the World Championships. But other than 98 in Nagano, you know, you get over that hump, 02 Salt Lake City, we remember Torino, where the men's team failed and you guys were so great. And of course, Vancouver, and you go to, so you guys never, ever came up short or came up second at the Olympic Games. Why the difference in success? Was the Olympics just a different level for you?
Yeah, the Olympics is like the ultimate. It's the Stanley Cup of women's hockey. I think, you know, World Championships are every year and they're, you know, high stakes and everyone takes them very seriously. But the Olympics is sort of, everyone, that's just another level up, whether you want to admit it or not. It's just the way it is. And I think that, you know, one of the things I'm most proud of in my career is that I would say that I don't think I played a bad gold medal final in five Olympic Games. Mm. And that's probably, from a pure hockey sense statistic, the thing that I am really most proud of, because I think it's very hard to do that. And I think our team as well has been able, like, it's just, I'm amazed at the way that our team has been able to have so much adversity but always rise up in those gold medal games and find a way to win. And I think it just really puts a stamp on how resilient the women's program has been. The players, it's a highlight to all of the players that I've played with who know what it takes to win and kind of go somewhere deeper to figure out, and it's not something that every team has the ability to do. And I think that's why our team is sort of endeared to Canadians for so many years, because they recognize that passion and that ability to rise up and win when it matters the most.
The great Haley Wickenheiser announces retirement last week and joins us on the Edger Walker Show this afternoon. Also looking forward to the Canadian Tire Wickfest coming to Calgary in its eighth year. We're going to ask her about that as well. What is next for you? I wonder if media or coaching is in the cards. I know Cassie Campbell Pascal has made such a wonderful transition, and there she is between the benches. Wouldn't you know it, as you know, your retirement ceremony goes in Edmonton. Is that in the future for you?
I don't know. I don't know about the media side for me. I think I would definitely be more interested in the coaching side, being involved with the team, with players. I think that's, you know, where I'm best suited, I guess. I love the game and just the details and the day-to-day grind of the game, which is what I'm dearly going to miss as a player. I think I have a pretty good understanding of what it takes to play at that level and what guys go through on a daily, day-to-day basis. So it'd be something, I mean, I've had some conversations with some people in the NHL recently and different teams and just, you know, talking about, you know, what the future might hold. So I'm just going to take some time to weigh my opportunities and see what comes. But I've also been accepted into medicine, and which is probably the biggest reason why I'm hanging my skates up right now. And so it's something I've always wanted to do since I was a kid. It was either being a doctor or being a hockey player. So I've been able to do one, and we'll see if I can do the other. And maybe I can blend that with staying in the game somehow.
The NHL thing is an interesting conversation. And I guess without revealing too much, I mean, You're 38, and that's when you talk about the coaching game and long term. That's very young. You go from, you know, old in one field to very young in the next. There are women in sport. There's maybe, you know, very few that and it's a shame really that just get thought of as an absolute athlete first in terms of respect. And you were one of those people that, I mean, if you follow that, could, you know, have a position in the National Hockey League. I have no doubt about it. Is that a dream? Is that a goal to kind of be the first?
I don't know if it's a goal of mine, but it's certainly, like, it's something I've thought about, and it would have to be if the right opportunity came about. I know, yeah. I've you know, I was talking with Todd McClellan on the weekend a little bit about, you know, what do you want to do down the road, and I've talked to Ken Hitchcock and Bobby Clark and a lot of different players people in management, and you know, we've just talked about just different opportunities that are going to come my way and what I might want to be able to blend with it. I have no illusions of the fact that coaching is an incredibly hard job at that level, and there would be a lot of learning that would go into that. But I think just of anything in the game, the coaching, the management side of the game is the thing that I would be most interested in. And you know, being involved with the players on a day-to-day basis, I've trained and been with so many of those guys through the last probably 20 summers, or if not more, and so I live sort of in the NHL world a little bit, and I know it's not the illusion it's cracked up to be. It's a tough go, and I could probably add some value to someone along the way if it was the right scenario, but I guess I've got to try to figure out how to do all of this and blend it with medicine, which is something I still really want to do and pursue, and a lot of work ahead of me, I guess.
I'm sure you've been doing a lot of reflecting over the last little while. I mean, I have too. I think all of Canada has on your career. So let's look back at it a little bit. Like, what do you think separated you from everybody else? I mean, we all have our theories. I have my ideas, but what made you the best?
Well, when people say the best, I really truly think that, you know, you're as good as your last game was. And I think what I tried to do was to be consistent and to be the best every game if I could be. I always wanted to play my best game. So if it was, you know, mid to AAA team we were playing in St. Albert, Alberta, to, you know, the biggest stage in the world at the Olympics, I just treated both of those things as the same. And I tried to approach the game as a true professional. I really tried to elevate myself, and I tried to be around the best players in the world. So I played in Europe, and I went to the Flyers camps, and I skated with the best NHL players in the summers, just as a way to try to elevate my game and learn. So I think the biggest thing is I just really loved the game. I gave my heart and soul to the game in every way, and I tried to make a point when I stepped on the ice that if anybody was watching, they wouldn't say, oh, that's a good girl playing hockey. They would say, that's a good hockey player. And for me, that would have been the greatest compliment I could have gotten.
I guess it's a similar question, but does that go hand in hand with your legacy? Is that what you'd want your legacy to be?
Yeah. I mean, I think when I walk into a mall or an airport and a grown man comes up to me and says, gets a little smile and says, are you Haley Wickenheiser? And yes. And I didn't really like women's hockey, but I really love watching you guys. And then a lot of times people will say, I love watching you guys more than the men. So, you know, we just get get that compliment quite often now, and it really, I have a little bit of a bigger smile when it comes from, you know, grown men.
Because yeah.
That's sort of the audience that I think was probably the most resistant to it initially, and it's come a long way. It's changed. You know, my son, when he was 5, he said to me one day, "Mom, do boys play hockey too?" Because all he was surrounded with was women's hockey. And, you know, my nephew is 5 years old, and his favorite players are the players on the women's national team. So they have no contest, you know, no difference now. And, you know, you're a hockey player, you're a hockey player. And if you can play, you can play. And that's the way it should be.
It's funny you mentioned, I just thought of this, and maybe I'm getting the story wrong, but you talk about playing the AAA midgets, and when I was working in Red Deer, I mean, you guys would come through and you'd play the AAA team there. I loved watching those games, but
yeah.
Where were you? I remember it kind of blew up, so you got into it with, you got into it with I want to say Dion Phaneuf's little brother, right?
Yeah.
Did you hit him or he hit you, or I can't remember how that went.
Yeah, well, he was kind of being a bit of a jerk in the game and just kind of taking liberties, in my opinion, on some of our smaller players. And I was one of the bigger players on the team. And so it was the end of the game. And we went into the corner. And I think I actually had enough, and I gave him a little shot, and then he hit me back. And then we were, you know, I kind of felt weird because I thought, well, I'm probably old enough to almost be your mom here. So this is not maybe the coolest thing to be fighting you. But it was just a weird scenario, and I just was sort of trying to stick up for my teammates. And we, you know, I've played hundreds of games against the juniors and the midget AAAs, the guys through the years with the national team. And, you know, I think on one hand, I can think of all the instances, maybe 4 or 5 times when we played those teams where we had an issue. And for the most part, they were so respectful. The coaches were respectful. And they were hard fought games. And, you know, a lot of fun, and they made us better, and they're a big part of the reason why we won Olympic medals, because we had the chance to play really good men's competition before. And so that was just one moment. I think it went viral or whatever.
Yeah.
TSN was there, but it was fun now when I look back.
Well, Dion is playing in Calgary then, and he was right at the height of his polarization then, so it didn't take much for cameras to be in his face. And so, yeah, the next day they're playing him this clip at practice, and he didn't know what to say. It was pretty funny.
Put him in a bad spot.
Yeah. Haley Wickenheiser, our guest on the Andrew Walker Show. So I'm sure you've thought about this, but, like, there's certain guys that are retired or even still playing, you know, like Jerome or, you know, Pavel Datsyuk when he hangs up. They are walking into the Hockey Hall of Fame, and you are in that class. You're going in as soon as you can go. Have you thought about that? Is it exciting to think of?
I've thought about it only recently because people are saying it to me constantly. But it would be an amazing honor. I look at D'Angelo James and Cammy Granato and Geraldine Heaney, and now, you know, with women going in, I think it's really just a true sort of equal measure now in the game that, you know, women are being valued to hockey's highest honor, in my opinion. And to be at some of those ceremonies, and I was at Chris Chelios' ceremony, I was at Geraldine Heaney's ceremony, just to see how emotional it is and what a big deal it is for the hockey world. And it would be a pretty cool moment to be able to be in there with those guys.
So looking back, what was, and maybe we all have it, what was the moment for you? I mean, there's 4 Olympic gold medals. You know, we look back to, and I guess even at the time, very controversial, the flag speech, if you want to say that, in Salt Lake City. And I mean, how do you look back on that moment? What do you remember the most?
Yeah. Well, I think the flag moment is probably the moment that most people remember me by, or will say, "Oh, I remember when." You know, I think, you know, even Don Cherry said, "Yeah, you got me in a lot of trouble after that." You know, we were talking the other day and having a few laughs about it. But, you know, the moment for me actually was probably winning the gold medal with Team Alberta in the Canada Winter Games in 1991 when I was 12 years old. And the reason is that I was 12. Most of the players were older, 18, 17, 18. And it was my first experience in girls and women's hockey. I'd only played with the boys to that point. I had no idea girls and women played hockey until I watched the World Championships in 1990 with the pink jerseys. And then after that, I really sort of came onto the stage of women's hockey, and then I joined the national team at 15. So that really is where it all started for me, and where my career took off from. And then obviously you have the defining moments in the Olympic Games. But that for me is the moment.
You go over to Finland, and that was, you know, well publicized, and you play in the second division men's league. And we had Ron McLean on the other day, and we were talking about Austin Matthews, and he goes and plays against men, and he comes back, and, you know, whether that helped or not, he just looked so comfortable. And Ron made made the comparison to you, and he said when you came back from that experience, he said from what he saw, he thought he saw a different player. Would you agree with that?
You know, when I came back, I describe it as you kind of go from a bull to a spider, and I'll give Daryl Belfry some credit on that one, because actually Daryl, I worked with Daryl for a long time. He's also working with Austin Matthews, and when I went over to Europe, I started sort of as a dominant physical player in the women's game, and then I played with the men, and I had to learn to change my game a bit to go to the soft spots of the ice and let the play come to me and through me. I couldn't, you know, carry the puck and go through people anymore. And I think it helped expand my game and give me sort of a different looks when I went back to the women's game. And I really tried to sort of take that analogy and use it in the women's game and be able to make players around me better, to distribute the puck more, to, have my awareness on the ice, to use change of speed and all those types of things that I had to use in the men's game to be successful. So it was, the greatest 3 years of my career probably put together. It was hard, but I loved playing over there, and particularly in Finland. I played in Finland and Sweden, but the Finns and the way they embraced me playing there was, I still keep in touch with many of those players from that team.
The Wickenheiser World Female Hockey Festival is coming up the eighth year. Wickfest.com is the web address. Before we let you go, this has been a long time, you know, project for you. Tell us about it coming up.
Now it's in Calgary. It's in November. 2 weeks of every November, we have 3,000 girls and women that come from around the world, from novice all the way to midget. We've had the Mexican national team that's come for every year since we started. We've had teams from Finland, the Czech Republic, and we have teams from all across Canada and the U.S. And what it is they get 4 games guaranteed, but they also get an opportunity to sign up for off-ice sessions. So things, we had 7 Olympic gold medalists from Rio there this year who talked about mental training, nutrition, equipment. We've had Brian Burke and Mason Raymond, Trevor Lynn, and many NHL players through the years come and talk to the girls. And it's just a way to give them the very best that hockey has to offer so that they become better athletes and hockey players. And it was a way for me to sort of begin to leave a legacy for what I've been able to achieve or experience in the game of hockey. So it's really blown up. It's an amazing tournament, and I just love to. I have about 126 teams, but we have about another 100 on the waiting list. We just need more ice.
The website is wickfest.com. Be sure to check it out. Hey, thanks for making time today. Congratulations on everything. It's been even awesome for you know, people like me to reminisce about your long career a little bit, and I love having people from Saskatchewan on the show, as you know, and when you're out here going into the Hockey Hall of Fame, whenever that is, it'd be great to do it again and have you in studio or whatever, and that day can't get here soon enough. So congrats again from us.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Andrew. It's been a pleasure.